Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, that's who those men and women are, plus those that you know who died in Christ who are awaiting. Some of you have parents and loved ones and children or others who've gone before you. And they're part of that great cloud of witnesses too. We have this great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Keep fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. That's what we're talking about. We're running a race. We're living a life. And it's not easy sometimes, is it? It's not easy running this race that God has set before us, is it? We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. But we have a stand, a stadium, filled with this great cloud of witnesses who struggled the way we've struggled, who've experienced the temptations and the sins and the difficulties, the trials that all of us have had, and they've finished their race well. They've got their crown already. And there in the stands, this great cloud of witnesses cheering you and me on. And we've heard Cain talk about his brother Abel, who was one of the first hero of faith mentioned in this great hall or heroes spectacle, this cloud. And he offered God a better sacrifice. He didn't give God the leftovers. He gave God what was first. And then last week we heard from Enoch, who was one of only two people in the history of humankind who never experienced physical death. The other was Elijah. We'll hear about Elijah. Elijah's not coming, but someone who knew Elijah well is coming. A woman, actually. Well, actually, she knew Elisha. Excuse me. Always mix those two guys up. Sorry about that. But Elijah was a man of faith, and he also did not experience physical death. And this morning, we're going to hear if he comes from Noah. And look at Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen. Remember, faith is the assurance of things unseen. It's hoping even when it doesn't make sense. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear. That's worship, by the way. Reverent fear, you can put the word worship in if you want. In reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Amen? Do you want to hear from Noah? Let's see if I can find him. I'm sure you've heard of me. My name is Noah. Yes, yeah, the same Noah, not the other Noah. The same Noah who built the boat. Yeah, most people think the most important shining point in my life was building that boat in the middle of a desert. But the most important aspect of my life was this. I lived by faith. Everybody wants to jump on my boat. But the most important part of my life was that I lived by faith. That's why I'm a member of this great cloud of witnesses. You see, I trusted God completely. When you seek first the kingdom of God, you trust God completely. After all, when God tells you he's going to destroy all of humankind with a flood, then he warns you to build a gigantic boat and gather animals. Imagine telling that to my wife. You have to trust God completely. Now, you've already met my great-grandfather. I hear your pastor tells me, wonderful man, by the way. He told me that my great-grandfather was here last week. Enoch. My grandfather, Methuselah, he told me stories of how Enoch His dad walked with God. And so I also wanted to be a man, a person who walked with God. My father, Lamech, named me Noah. Noah means comfort or relief. Why did he name you that, you ask? Well, remember, because of the rebellion of my ancestors, Adam and Eve, God had cursed the ground. My dad had hoped that I would bring relief to the hard labor we experienced because of sin. He had no idea, how God was really going to use me. You would have thought, after all humankind had experienced, after all of what humankind had experienced because of our rebellion, like Enoch, we would have turned to God and changed our ways. But things actually got worse. Really worse. Our rebellion made Adam and Eve's disobedience look like a picnic in the garden. But like my great-grandfather, Enoch, I sought to walk with God. I sought to please him. Therefore, I experienced his favor or his grace in my life. You see, God saw the great wickedness of his fallen creation. He was filled with regret because of our rebellion and wickedness. One of your Bible scholars wrote this: our God is incomparably affected by, even pained by, the sinner's rebellion. What that means is sin hurts the heart of God. And when he looked at the world in which I lived, he was filled with pain, filled with sorrow. He was grieved in his very spirit. But God had a plan. God had a plan for a fresh start. That's where I came in. God noticed me. Has God ever noticed you? God noticed me. He saw how I trusted him. He saw how I desired to live by his holy and righteous standards. Now, if you think I lack humility by telling you all this, listen to what the Bible says about me. Noah, I'm quoting from Genesis, of course, Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. Pretty cool, huh? Pretty cool. I didn't write it. Some other guy named Moses, I'm not sure if he's showing up soon, but he wrote it. God, you see, God told me his plan. He was going to destroy every living creature on this planet except my three sons and their wives and my wife and me. He told me to make an ark out of gopher wood. Now, at this point, I had two questions. Lord, first of all, what is an ark? And number two, what is gopher wood? Now remember, my people were living in Mesopotamia. We lived in the middle of a desert climate. Where was I going to find gopher wood? And what am I going to do with a gigantic ship in the middle of the desert? I was really confused. And again, I'm not going to tell you what he said about the gopher wood right now. Now, God designed this boat. He had me put a lot of rooms or stalls in it. He gave me the exact plans, including what he wanted done with this ark, including sealing it on the inside and out with pitch. I didn't know what that was either. Now, this was some boat, by the way. It was 450 feet long. 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. You thought I was going to use cubits, weren't you? Nah, I'm not sure what a cubit is. God told me that he was going to destroy every living creature with a flood. But he made a covenant or an agreement with us. We would be kept safe in the ark he had designed for us. God told me that he would also send birds and animals to take this cruise with us. Between them and my sons and their wives, the world would get a fresh start. I was 600 years old, by the way, when I completed the ark. God designed the boat, and my sons helped me build it. We entered the boat, along with all the animals. God sent our way, and a week later, the flood started. Water gushed out of the ground, and it rained and rained and rained. By the way, this was the first time it ever rained in the history of our world. You say, what happened before that? The Bible, your Bible says that a mist came. The first rain was in after I was in that ark for a week. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Some people think I was in the ark only 40 days and 40 nights. Not true. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. The Lord himself shut the door of the ark, and we were safe. And we were in that ark, not 40 days, not 40 nights. We were in that ark for over a year. You see, it took a lot longer for the earth to dry out for us to get off the boat. When we were finally able to get off that boat, the first thing I did was build an altar, excuse me, in thanksgiving to God. It was a pleasant aroma as I offered that burnt offering to the Lord. And by the way, that pleasant aroma was a welcome change after spending a year on a boat, over a year on a boat, with elephants, skunks, and polar bears. Then I saw something in the sky that I'd never seen before. You know what it was? It was a rainbow. This rainbow was like God's signature on a contract. He promised never to destroy the planet again with a massive worldwide flood. One of your scholars put it this way: the appearance of the rainbow, while principally a reminder to God of his promises, is also a testimony to the presence of the Lord, who has revealed himself through both destruction and preservation of all that has life on the earth. Now, you might think I'm a member of the great cloud of witnesses because of my boat building skills, or because I was the first zookeeper, floating zookeeper, in human history. No, I was inducted into the great cloud of witnesses because of my faith. You might remember, faith is not based on what is seen, but by what is unseen. It is complete reliance on God, even when he doesn't make sense. I obeyed the Lord when he told me to build a boat in the middle of a desert. I followed his plan exactly. I trusted God when he said it would rain, even though I'd never seen rain until the first of those 40 days. I trusted God to send lions, tigers, and bears, along with a lot of other beasts, into the boat. Yes, I was commended for my faith in that which was unseen. My whole family was saved. My whole family was saved because I trusted God. I became an heir of God's righteousness, not because of what I did, but because I received the gift of his grace. Can you learn from my lesson? I hope so. Now, let me get the pastor back. What do we learn from Noah, this man of faith? What do we learn from him? There's lots more to his story. You can read starting in Genesis 6. I mean, a lot of things leave out for the sake of time in that. But I hope you got the high points of what we need to emulate the lessons we need to learn from these great cloud of the members of these of this great cloud of witnesses who are cheering us on. First of all, and this is going to be the same every week as we go through Hebrews 11, we need to trust God completely. We need to trust God completely. Do you believe that? We need to trust God completely. That's what faith is. That's what seeking first the kingdom of God is. That's our theme for this year as we get ready for our 200th anniversary next year. We need to trust God completely. Do you trust God completely? Even when it doesn't make sense? You need to obey Him. Remember that old gospel song? Trust and obey. For there's no other way. Not to be happy in Jesus. It's not about being happy in Jesus. It's trust and obey, for there's no other way to be faithful to Jesus. Noah had no idea why he was building that ark, for sure. I mean, how do you build a boat in the middle of a desert? Yeah, God said he's going to destroy the planet, but that's like unbelievable. How am I going to get all these animals? God said, I'll take care of that. God himself shut the door. We need to obey God even when it doesn't make sense. And then we need to follow his plan. You know, God didn't tell Noah, you come up with this. You design a boat even though you live in the desert. God had the plan. God was the designer. And sometimes we try and do things our way. We're going to hear that from our guest next week, by the way, Abraham, and then we'll hear the same thing from the beautiful Sarah the next week. Sometimes we try and do things our way, and we mess things up even worse. But Noah followed God's plan. It took him 100 years, by the way, to build that ark. 100 years. We need to follow God's plan exactly. What's God's plan for our church? It's on our program every week. It's the mission statement. First Baptist Church exists to love God and love our neighbors as we share Christ's message by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not a social club. We're not a country club. We're not a goodwill society, although we want to do good things. Our primary mission is to love God, to love each other, to make disciples. We need to follow his plan. And all of this happens as we receive his gift of grace. Noah was not blameless and righteous because that's the way he was. He was that way because God made him that way. God gave him the gift. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. That means Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found it. It wasn't there. God gave it to him and he found it. He accepted it. The reason we have a baptism today is because someone has found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Have you found that? Have you received the gift of his grace? Like Noah, are you walking with God? Are you trusting him? Are you obeying him? Are you following his plan? If you haven't received the gift of God's grace, I hope that you will have heard Noah's message today. As he's one of the people in that great stadium, that great cloud of witnesses, cheering you, if you know Jesus, to finish the race. And if you don't know Jesus, he said, come on, get in the race. Get in the race. It'll save your life. Just like my life was saved by God's grace and mercy.